Up our Bibles. Anybody have a blessing they'd like to share? I know you don't have a microphone down there, but is anybody thankful for something? Yes, Miss Carol? You got to stand up so we can hear you. Nice and loud. Amen. Yes, yes. Anybody else thankful for anything? Want to share? Mr. Jesse? Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to share something they're thankful for? Mrs. Wallace? Amen. Amen. We all have something to be thankful for, that's for sure. Anybody else has something they'd like to share? Mr. Humbert? Amen. That's wonderful. Anybody else want to share something before we get started? Miss Tracy. Yes, Tanner graduated from high school. That's great. He just graduated from high school a few weeks ago. It's nice to have Tanner here with us. I agree. Anybody else? Amen. Wonderful. Great. So that is, once again, that is Morgan. That's Brooke's twin sister. So it's nice to have Morgan here with us all the way from Indiana. So she came a long way. So, Brother Jim? Amen. A lot of people don't get to sit in an air conditioner at their own house, much less air conditioning at the church. So that's great. Very thankful, very blessed. One more. Anybody else? One last one. Miss Sandy, we'll finish with you. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and have our Bibles open up to Psalms chapter 137. We are be a few weeks till we get back to Nehemiah. But tonight I'd like to look at this. Lord kind of laid this upon my heart. It goes a little bit along with what we talked about this morning. And I think you'll enjoy the message. I think this Psalms 137, some of you will recognize some of the verses. And then we're going to go over to another passage of Scripture in a second. So the title of tonight's message is Looking Up When Everyone Else is Hanging It Up. Looking up when everyone else is hanging it up. Here in Psalms chapter 137, you see, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. So what, to give you an understanding of what's happening here, this is after the nation of Israel had been taken in captivity. And because of Israel's rebellion, they were carried away into bondage, carried away into captivity. You say, Israel was God's chosen people. Why are they being carried away? Well, God had sent prophet after prophet. God had sent country after country, just trying to get them to turn back to God, and they refused. So because of that, they have now been taken into captivity. They will be in this captivity for 70 years. And because of the exhaustion, because of how the Babylonians were pushing them, most people think and believe, because of history, that they were digging the canals out there near the Euphrates River and out there near Babylon. They were, it says that we wept and we remembered Zion. So they were there, they were working, they're by the rivers of Babylon. They sat down and they were weeping. And they remembered, as they remembered how good it was back in Zion. Verse number 2, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Israel was famous for their harps and their musical talents back there in that time and point in history. And they were known for their singing. even though they weren't allowed to probably take anything else with them, the Babylonians allowed them to take their harps with them. But instead of being able to sing and instead of being able to praise the Lord in this strange country or this strange land, they're weeping because they're remembering Zion. Verse number 3, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song. You can imagine the story that's going on here. Babylon came in, and Babylon was very cruel. Babylon was merciless. They killed infants. They killed babies. They killed the elderly. They destroyed the place. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed the walls. That's what we think about Nehemiah and going back and rebuilding, you know, those walls. That's what Babylon had. They had left everything. And in their mind, in their picture, these Israelites, they're sitting there and they're in slavery. They're in captivity. I know we think of Daniel over there in the palace, but that was only Daniel. The majority of them were taken to a slave camp, and they're there and they're digging these canals out. They're working probably from sun up to sun down. And then in verse number 3, it says that their captives have the nerve to say, hey, play us a song. You know that song you're famous for singing. You know, there's songs of Zion that we hear. And if you go back and you hear about the traditions and histories about the songs, there was times during the feast days and the worship days, over 100,000 singing together as a choir. Can you imagine 100,000 voices just praising and singing God's praises and the harps playing and the instruments going, just rejoicing. But they had lost their song. No longer do they want to sing. And then their captives are saying that, hey, why don't you... You know, you're the people that were supposed to be singing to the one true God. Why don't you play the song for us? They're humiliating them. It says that for they were carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us of mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they're mocking them. They're saying, come on, you remember that Zion? Remember that God you used to sing about, that Jerusalem, that place? Go ahead and sing us a song. We'd like to hear it. Once again, they're in complete control. Verse 4 said, they asked this question, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And they're saying, how can we do that? How can we praise and sing the songs of Zion inside this strange and horrible place? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, they begin now to look at this. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her coming. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my joy. So they're now speaking to God here, and they're casting their thoughts back to Jerusalem. They're repenting. They're saying, let us not forget how important it was to them. And even they do forget, because remember when after the 70 years, only a small portion of them go back to Jerusalem to rebuild. Verse 7, they begin to ask a prayer here. It says, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof. And remember, the Edomites was pretty much their common enemy. And they were helping the Babylonians and capturing the ones that were trying to be the Israelites that were being set free and bringing them back. And they were mocking at them. They were laughing at them during this time of captivity. And then they're also still praying, O daughter of Babylon, who art thou to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth the little ones against the stones. You know, so they're saying here, the Israelites are saying, we want the same thing to happen to Babylon that happened to us. In their bitterness and their anger and in their frustration, they're saying, Lord, let the exact same thing happen to Babylon that happened to us. And according to history, we see that Babylon was taken over, and same type of things were happening there. So I want you to get this picture here. Things aren't very good here for the nation of Israel. It's a bad place. It's a bad time. I mean, you think about it. They watch, and I don't want to be too gross. I don't want to be too giving too much of an image, but things were really bad. They had just been taken from their land that they love. And many times they left their loved ones behind, not because they went off by themselves, but because the older or whoever they did not want to take with them, they just went ahead and slain them. If they were too old or too young, they just got rid of them. And they watched. And we see what history and how the depicts maybe not that exact captivity, but how the Babylonians treated their enemies, and they just destroyed everything. The house of God, the temple, the one that they had actually made in a sense an idol, completely destroyed. Walls all gone. They are in a very bad place at a very bad time. They have some really major problems, and they're saying, how in the world are we supposed to sing in a time like this? Now I want you to take your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 1. In Ezekiel chapter 1, I think you're going to see an interesting comparison. Ezekiel is one of the major prophets. You say, why are you calling him a major prophet? It's because of the prophecy, the length of the prophecy, not because it's any more important. But Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 1, you see that Ezekiel is living in the same time period, in the exact same spot as those in Psalms chapter 137. Ezekiel had saw the same things. He experienced the same loss. He was in the same place. But Ezekiel looks beyond the rivers of Babylon and he sees something and it changes him. Let's look here in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar. Now, same thing around the rivers of Babylon, it's the connections that are there, that the heavens were open and I saw the visions of God. Look in verse number 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, and in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Now I want you to see here that God had called Ezekiel to minister and to prophesy to this group of people who we know is in a horrible place, had seen horrible things, and is depressed and is bitter, even so much, not only that she's in a physical, bad physical place, they're in a bad spiritual place because they're saying, God, what they did to us, I want you to do it to them. They're bitter. They want justice. They want retribution. They said they deserve it. And here you see the hearts of the people. No longer can they sing. They have their harps, and no longer can they find reason to sing the songs of Zion because they're in a strange land. Now, I know that the Old Testament and New Testament are a little bit different. They're different covenants in a sense and different dispensations. And, Israel was in their land where God had intended them for to be. But if we serve a God that knows all things and can do all things and knows exactly where it is, I believe we can find a way to sing no matter where we're at. And that's the idea of the message tonight, is looking up when everyone else is hanging it up. While those that were by the riverside were hanging their harps up saying we cannot sing, God is revealing himself to the prophet Ezekiel and he is showing him some things. He shows him three things here I'd like to mention and mention quickly. I don't believe tonight's message will take as long as some other messages. But first thing I want you to see is Ezekiel sees that God is still on the throne. Ezekiel sees that God is still on the throne. Take your Bibles in Ezekiel chapter 1. Go all the way down to verse number 26. And this is the visions. And once again, some amazing terminology there. You read the vision that Ezekiel has that God, it says the Lord was upon him there. And what does he see? It says above the firmament that was over the heads was the likeness of the throne as the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw the color amber as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were an appearance of fire and had the brightness round about it as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, I'm encouraging tonight is that even though while other people might be hanging it up, even though while other people may be giving in, even though while there might be others who do not see a reason to sing, do not see a reason to rejoice, and do not see a reason to praise the Lord, that no matter what happens in this world, God will always be on the throne. And see, God reveals something to Ezekiel here. He says, I want you to go, and he's going to tell him to go tell him something. He says, I want you to tell the people that I'm still on the throne. Now, I know Nebuchadnezzar might be on the throne of the world at this point in time. Nebuchadnezzar might be the world empire emperor at that point in time. But even Nebuchadnezzar, we learn and we see, was in the hand of God. God was able to do anything he wanted to with him. But he wanted to remind the nation of Israel. He wanted to remind the people of Israel. He reminded Ezekiel while he's sitting there by the riverbanks. And he is the prophet of the day. And they're mourning, they're weeping, they're hanging up their harps and saying, there's no reason to sing to God. There's no reason to praise the Lord. There's no reason anymore. Ezekiel looks up and Ezekiel sees God sitting on the throne. I don't know about you, but in the day and time we live in, there's some wicked people that's in charge today. There's some places in the world where it just seems like what is called, what is good is called evil, and what is evil is called good. And it's just like there is a huge mess going on in this world. But all we need to do is take our eyes off of the circumstances of this world and this day and this time. And we look up, you know what we see? We see God still sitting on that throne. Tonight, I want you to understand that there are going to be people who are hanging it up because they're going to get knocked down, like we talked about this morning. There are going to be people who are hanging up because the circumstances get so bad and get so hard and so tough. And it feels like God is forsaking you. But all we have to do is look up and see, you know what? No matter what happens in this world, no matter anything that happens in this day, in this time, in this age, God is still on the throne. God is still there, and He is still. And that's what Ezekiel's showing the Lord. He's showing Him, look, I'm there. For his entire life, Ezekiel has only known corrupt leadership. You go back and look at the years there, some speculate he's probably around the age of 30, maybe 40. You look at the last 40 years in Israel's time period, it's a bunch of wicked kingdoms, it's a bunch of wicked governments, and it seems like the most powerful people is the most corrupt people. And you see what the nation of Israel, they were mocking, they were doing things, they were letting the homosexuals, even in that day, to have special place and think, just wickedness in the nation and the government of Israel. That's the reason why they were taken away. The throne that day was corrupt. But despite that, Ezekiel could look up and see a God that was on the throne that was not corrupt. He had a spot. He had a reason to sing. And even though these other people were, they were sad, obviously they're sad. It was a horrible place they were in. They were in slavery, asked to do work that probably they weren't capable of doing. But Ezekiel saw something. I think it's something we need to see. I think it's something we need to remind ourselves. Remembering Isaiah chapter 6, it talked about how Isaiah was sad and Isaiah was mourning the death of Uzziah, and he was worrying about what was going to happen. And then he got a glimpse of God, and what was his response? Here am I, Lord, send me. And tonight, when there are other people that are looking around and they want to give up, they want to hang up their harps, they want to stop singing, they want to stop praising, we need to remember, just like God showed Ezekiel, that he was still on the throne. Second thing I want you to see is not only was God still on the throne, God had not forsaken his own. That rhymes. I don't know if you saw that or not. So God was still on the throne and God had not forsaken his own. And the third point rhymes too. So you'll wait for that. God had not forsaken his own. Now, you look here in chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me." Here's a couple things. You know, I think Ezekiel here is tired. If you're working those long hours, I'm sure you're tired. The nation of Israel, I'm sure, is very weak and they're tired. I think they're overwhelmed physically, spiritually, emotionally, and they're saying there's no reason anymore to sing. I don't know about you, but do you ever get tired? I get tired sometimes. Today has been a really tired day for me. I'm not whining. I'm not complaining. It's just the fact that the last couple weeks have been really busy, and we've been out the road doing things a lot, and it's just been a really tiring last couple weeks, which is fine. But, you know, I'm not talking about being tired because you need a nap, because that's what I need. I asked some of the teenagers today, "What'd you do today?" So I took a nap. I'm like, "You're 17 and 18 years old. You don't need a nap. Get out and get a job. Do something." So, but I'm not talking about being tired like that. I'm talking about being tired of serving God. I don't want you to think that maybe you're better than I am, but sometimes it gets tiring serving the Lord. The devil tries to knock you out. The devil tries to knock you down. Sometimes it's not fun to forgive people. Not fun to turn the other cheek when they're slapping you on the other side. It's just sometimes it gets tired, and sometimes it gets hard, and sometimes it gets tough. And that's what's happening here, I think, at this day and time, and this people with the nation of Israel. I think they're tired. I think Ezekiel here, he falls flat on his face when he gets a good glimpse of God, and I think he can't get up on his own. He's tired. He can't do it on his own. He's there and he's overwhelmed. God has got a job for him to do. And you're like, "God, I can't go another step. Physically, I can't do it." But the exciting thing you see here in verse number 2 is the Spirit of God lifts him up. The amazing thing here is that when God gives you something to do, His Spirit will enable you to do it. God will never give you a job that you're not capable of doing by His Spirit and in His time. You know, at this point in time, I'm sure the nation of Israel was probably thinking, man, God's forsaken us. It might have been their thought. You think, if you take your Bible and you look in Lamentations, it's just a page back probably for you. In Lamentations chapter number 5, verse number 22, the Bible says that Jeremiah here is pouring his heart out to God. He says, but thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. And that's the last verse in the book of Lamentations, which is the book right before Ezekiel. You know, can you imagine that Jeremiah is saying this, but thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Can you imagine if that was my text on Sunday morning? Look, God's rejected us. God doesn't like us. God is, you know, He's very wroth. He's very mad. He's very angry at us. You know, they're tired. They've been put through all this. Now, yeah, I know you're going to say they deserve it. That's what they did, what they were supposed to. They didn't do what they were supposed to do, and they're sinners, and they're this, they're that. But now they're remembering Zion. They're saying, Lord, let me not forget Zion. Lord, let me, do this and that and all. They're repentant. They're getting it, but they're tired. They've reaped what they've sowed, and now they're there. They're by the rivers, and they're saying, here, I don't want to sing about you anymore. I'm giving up. I'm tired. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability to sing for you anymore or praise for you anymore. And Ezekiel, you know what he does? He sees God. He falls flat on his face, and God is just reminding him, I haven't forsaken you. He's tired, but God says, in my Spirit, I can lift you up. When God has given you something to do, even when you're flat on your back, like we talked about this morning, or when we're tired and we don't feel like we can go any farther, and we want to throw in the towel, and we want to hang up our harps, we want to hang up our voices, we want to hang up our smile, we want to hang up our forgiveness, we want to hang up our Christian philosophy and the idea that we should do the things that God wants us to do, and we can say, forget it, I'm tired, it's too much. God sends His Spirit to lift us up and say, you can keep on doing it. That's what it says here in verse number 2. He says, and the Spirit entered into me when He spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard Him that spake unto me. He was saying to him, look, I'm too tired. I can't get up. He's on his face. And he says, you know what? With my help, you can do it. I want to encourage you tonight. There's other people who are saying, I'm done. I'm over it. It's just too much. I'm tired and I can't go any farther. It's too overwhelming. There's no way I can serve Lord. There's no way I can sing His praises. There's no way. And then when we get that glimpse of God and we see God high and lifted up and sitting on that throne and we fall on our face, we're like, I wish I could. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and says, I can make you do it. Let me encourage you tonight. God was still on the throne. God had not forsaken His own. And the third thing is God gave His story to make known. Take your Bible in chapter number 3. God gave a story to make known. I think he gives them something here in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 1. Moreover, He said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and He caused me to eat the roll. And He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels of the roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And He said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. He had a story to make known. He saw God sitting on the throne. He understood, and he wanted to tell the nation of Israel, Ezekiel, go tell the people what you saw. Go reveal unto them the vision that no matter what's happening in this world, and no matter what happened to your family back there, no matter what has happened to Zion or happened to Jerusalem, no matter what you see, all these things happen, and you have to work day and night, and you have to listen to these people mock you, you have to listen to these people laugh at you and say, where's your God now? Why don't you sing us a song now? Why isn't God working now? And we start questioning ourselves and say, why isn't God working in my family? Why isn't God working in my church? Or why isn't God speaking to my heart? And we begin to start asking these questions. He says, go tell them what I showed you. I'm still on the throne. He says, it's not time to hang it up. It's not time to give it up. It's time to look up. See, the problem is we focus on here and now. And that's normal. The devil distracts us. He wants us to look at now. He wants us to look at what's going on. He wants us to focus on the problems in our world, the problems in our country, the problems that are socially, the problems in our culture, the problems here, the problems there. He wants us to stop looking up because we're going to become worried, which is a sin. We're going to become bitter, which is a sin. We're going to become anxious, which is a sin. We're going to become covetous. We're going to desire things that God never intended for us to do. Our flesh is going to be crying out. But instead of hanging it up, instead of giving it up, let's just look up. Most of us know these verses in Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's saying, look up to Jesus. Now, that next verse is not as familiar, but is something that teaches us a great lesson. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. They're saying that when we look up to Jesus, we consider everything that happened to him. When the sinners did all those things to him, it says, and sent a contradiction against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest you get tired. Because when we worry, when we focus on here in this world, we are going to get tired. We're going to get frustrated. People are going to disappoint us. Our family sometimes are going to disappoint us. Our pastor sometimes might disappoint us. Our teachers might disappoint us. Our government might disappoint us. Or, you know, whatever it is, and when we get focused on here in the world, what we need to do is look up. We need to see him on the throne. We need to say, Lord, we know you have not forsaken us, and we know you have a message for us to give, and let us go and give that message out. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Looking up when everyone else is hanging it up. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I know it's, like I said, it's easy to get tired. You ever feel like you're the only one doing something? You ever feel like you're the only one working? You ever feel like nobody else is helping? You ever feel like I'm the only one reading my Bible? I'm the only one that's praying. I'm the only one that cares about this church. I'm the only one that cares about this ministry. I'm the only one that cares about my family. I'm the only one that cares about my job. I'm the only one that cares about our country. That's the complex Elijah had. And God said, look, I still have this many people that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Don't focus on yourself. Look up. Because when you focus on you, you know what you're going to want to do? I'm going to want to hang it up. Because when I look at this world, there's nothing worth praising. But when I'm looking to God, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I can pull down the harp and I can sing his praises because he's still on the throne. He hasn't gotten off that throne. And nothing, I mean nothing, will ever take him off that throne. He will still be God no matter what happens in this world. No matter what happens in my life. And even if someone came into this world, in this country, and took us and made us slaves, you know what? He's still going to be God. Even if we face a horrible disease, we lose family members, even if our best friends turn their back on us, even if people slap us in the face, he's still going to be God. We still got a reason to sing. We still have a reason to praise him. Psalm chapter 137, we understand that. You know, somebody telling me, why don't you go ahead and sing about God now? You know, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to sing. You know, I'd throw the harp at him. You know, I'd be bitter. I'd be angry. I'd be frustrated because some jerk is telling me to do something, mocking me and laughing at me. But when I sit and say, you know what? He's asked me to sing about my God. Maybe I can pull the harp down and maybe I can teach him something and show him something. And he, despite everything that's happening, God still wants to hear us sing. We're going to get to Acts chapter 16 here in a few weeks on Sunday morning, and you get that story about Paul and Silas singing in the prison cell after being beaten and sitting in the stocks, and they're praising the Lord at midnight. That's good, I think. And we know that we've heard that song before, that God wants to hear us sing. It's easy to sing when things are going good. It's easy to sing when you're at the church service. It's easy to sing and praise the Lord when life is good and everybody else is singing. But when you're out there, when it seems like in a wilderness by yourself, things are miserable and you're just tired, you don't want to feel singing. But then we look up and we get a good glimpse of God still sitting on his throne. Remember, he hasn't forsaken us. He's got a message for us to give. And we can look up instead of hanging it up. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. I don't know where you're at.